Well, I'm really happy to be here. Like, I had really wanted to come. We moved to Linlithgow and thought, yeah, now we can come to the Barony service more often. But then within 2 weeks of moving to Linlithgow, I got squashed. And then it was a bit more difficult to actually get anywhere. So I'm actually really excited to be here finally. You've been in my thoughts and my prayers for a long time. So yeah, it's exciting to be here. As you know, today we're doing the fruit of the Spirit, and today is kindness. So I thought I would just talk a little bit about kindness, as you would. Most people, I think, like to think that they're relatively kind. We help our friends when they ask us to. We avoid parking in the disabled spots unless we really, really need to. If you ask on the street,
we've all been busted.
if you ask someone on the street, are you a kind person? Most people will say yes. So what defines the fruit of the Spirit that is kindness as compared to worldly kindness, what everybody does? So my passage for today that I'm going to be focusing most on is Luke 6:27-36. And I'm going to keep on coming back to this, so if you find it, then just keep it up. Okay. Has everybody got it? Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt for them. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So I'm going to start on verse 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. What is your motivation for kindness? So I'm going to tell you a story. I've got a friend, let's call her Mary. And when she was a teenager, she had serious health problems and spent more than a year in hospital. At the beginning of that time, there was an older lady, let's call her Anne, from her church, who had come to the hospital to visit her. Before this event, they'd been on saying hello terms. They weren't close. They recognized each other from church, but they weren't in the same house group or anything. This lady Anne would visit regularly, and it always seemed a bit awkward. Like, she would get right up in the personal space, and there was just felt a bit odd. Then one day Anne sat down and said to her, "You know, I really believe that God only lets bad things happen to bad people. Now, I think you need to have a little deep think about what you could have done that made all this happen to you." Now, everybody says stupid things every now and then and slips up. That's not what I'm getting at here. What I'm getting at here is Anne's place of what was motivating Anne's kindness was not regard for Mary. She didn't really care about what place Mary was in. She was trying to make herself feel like a good person. She was trying to save up brownie points for heaven. I'm guaranteed she'd be telling everybody about how often she was visiting people in hospital in order that other people would think she was a good person as well. This is a worldly kind of kindness, which we often see in our churches, unfortunately. It's this do good deeds, force yourself to be kind. And that is not a spiritual kindness. The spiritual kindness is a fruit of the Spirit that grows up within us and isn't forced. Although this selfish kindness can sometimes be helpful in as a starting point, it should never be, and it can sometimes cause good things to happen. That is not what we're aiming at here. We're aiming for God-given empathy and a different way of looking at other people. The Spirit gives us genuine compassion, genuine empathy, even with our enemies, an ability to put ourselves in other people's shoes, and a supernatural understanding of how we can best help those people. Do as I said at the beginning, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So how can we do unto others as we would have done unto us? So let's go back to verse 28. It says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. This is quite countercultural within Scotland anyway. As we read this passage from Luke 6, we can start to feel quite uncomfortable. This is the exact opposite of what our Scottish culture tells us to do, to stand up against the bully and to look after number one. We need to love people even that we don't like, even those who make us feel uncomfortable. I went to a Fringe show on Friday, and there was a stand-up comedian, and he dedicated a significant portion of his show to making fun of socially awkward people. And he even had a song, He's a Bad Un. Some of the jokes were quite funny, but it was also a bit uncomfortable. Our culture often puts down anybody who is not like us, anybody who's a bit strange, anybody who's got bad personal hygiene, anybody that isn't very nice to be around. For example, about a year ago, all across social media, everybody was posting posts about cutting negative people out of their life and getting rid of all the negative people. So that's basically isolating everyone with depression. That's what this trend was telling us to do. Like, sometimes if we are really damaged and really struggling, we do need to spend more time around people who are supportive. But if we are in that place where we can't support anyone else and we only need support, then you're the negative person that everybody else should be cutting out. Yeah. So we need to be inclusive. We need to be looking out for the people around us. So that's just exactly what I was saying at the beginning. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Even those people who society would tell us, oh, just get rid of them, they're a loser. That's not necessarily the best course of action, according to the Bible. Now, I do want to say, though, this passage is not an order to allow others to bully or walk over you. When I was a child, I had teaching on this, which very poorly prepared me for school life. You can love someone without trusting them or even loving them, liking them very much. You can do good to those who hurt you without allowing them to hurt you again. Sometimes it's okay to be angry, to feel let down or frustrated. It's also okay to protect our resources, whether that those are financial resources or emotional resources, Amen. From others. But we can't give from a place of emptiness. If we give to everybody who asks, eventually we'll rather quickly become empty. We need to give according to God's guidance. And if we can readily afford to give to someone in need, whether that's energy or money, then we shouldn't avoid doing it just because we know it won't be reciprocated. So if we are in a really secure place emotionally and our friend is having a nervous breakdown, or even someone we don't particularly like is having an emotional breakdown, then we can spend time with that person and prop them up and give them the support. If we are having an emotional breakdown and that person is also having an emotional breakdown, probably we're not best for each other, and God will put someone else alongside them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell a story. Okay, I've got a friend called Greg who is a little socially awkward. He's sometimes rude to people. He can come across as quite opinionated, just awkward to be around. He's a full-time dad with two preschool children, and his wife works full-time. He had an accident and injured his leg and couldn't weight bear. And I can tell you now, if you're on crutches, you can't carry anything. You make yourself a cup of tea, and then what do you do with it? You have to drink it standing in the kitchen. place. Now imagine you've got two small kids. Like, how do you even deal with that? So some of his friends and relatives said, if you need anything, just let me know. Anything at all, just let me know. But he's socially awkward and he feels difficult in social situations. And he didn't know how to ask them for help. And he would prefer just to struggle by himself rather than actually take them up on their offers. Okay, now I've got another friend called Scott. And rather than giving the same generic offer of help, he said to Greg, I know you've got family coming round on Thursday. Would you like me just to come over an hour before and help you tidy up and cook some food for your family? Now that was an offer of help that Greg could accept. That was an appropriate offer of help that didn't require Greg to go through all the social anxiety problems. And that actually resulted in tangible help that Greg could do. And that is a kind of Holy Spirit help, where the Holy Spirit opens Scott's eyes to, this is a way that you can practically help Greg. This is how you can do it that won't cause offence and won't be difficult. So I'm just going to read through the passage again if you've still got it open. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love you. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those for whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is a radical and countercultural kindness. This is not your bog standard, I'll scratch her back because she'll scratch mine kindness. This goes way beyond that. It's a kindness shown to people who will never show you kindness. To the dirty, to the unpleasant, to the bully, to the person who has a different political or social view to you, to the person who has those opinions that really wind you up, the person who's you've unfollowed on Facebook because he just winds you up every time you post something. This kindness has the power to change lives. Some people get in a vicious circle. They're unkind or unpleasant, so nobody shows them kindness. So then they mirror the behaviour they get towards them and they become even more unkind and unpleasant. And it just spirals down and down. If you break that cycle and show kindness to someone in that situation, then that can be transformative. That can change lives. But most of all, it's a God-given kindness. This is not the natural human impulse. The natural human impulse isn't to be nice to people who are nasty. It's to repay kind with kind. This requires God to change us so that it becomes natural. And it also requires God's guidance. What is kind in one situation isn't necessarily kind in another. Sometimes people need supported and propped up. Other times they need to be released and empowered into more independence.
Amen. Yeah.
And these are different types of what you do for one person. Two different people in the same situations can be completely different because of what God is doing in their lives at that particular time. Sometimes you don't have the resources to help someone. And God knows that. He doesn't ask us to give resources we don't have, whether that's money or energy or time or space or emotions. And he will have someone to help that person. So this is all not very easy, it sounds. How do we practically go around being kind? Go to verse 36. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. God models this all for us. And it's not difficult. Well, it's difficult, but it's not complicated. It's a package deal. As Chris mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the fruit of the Spirit, it's singular, fruit of the Spirit, it's a package deal. It's not that we need to grow kindness and we need to grow goodness and all this separately. If we have the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit will grow within us. We can't force ourselves to be kind. If we force ourselves, we'll end up like Anne, and that's not what we want. Only God can grow our empathy and our ability to place ourselves in someone else's shoes. Only God can give us the ability to see through our enemy's eyes and understand why they act like they do. As Hilary mentioned last week, all of the items on the list of the fruit of the Spirit are aspects of love. And kindness is the practical outworking of God's love to other people. So God loves everybody, we know that. But how does he express that love to the people who can't hear him, who aren't listening to him? He does that through us. Yeah. We are his arms and his legs. Yeah. We are representatives of him on earth. When we are growing in the fruits of the Spirit, then this empathy and this ability to see people how God sees them will grow within us, and then it will come naturally. We won't need to force it like Anne. We won't need to, okay, I need to do an act of kindness today. What can I do? Let's find an old granny and take her across the road. We'll be out there and we'll see through God's eyes and we'll see exactly what needs to be done and how we can help. Even if that's just linking them up with someone else who can help them better. It's about seeing how we can help through God's eyes. We are merciful just as God is merciful, and our kindness reflects God's love in heaven. And when we see someone through God's eyes, it's not even a question anymore of what do I need to do, how can I be a good person. We are taken away from the thoughts about us, and it's turned into thoughts about them. How can they be helped? What can be done to help this person? And it's just a different point of view, really. So the biggest thing to do is we can pray, basically. When we feel ourselves having unkind thoughts, and there's nothing wrong with having an unkind thought, as long as we don't dwell on it, that can be a prompt to ask God how he would deal with that situation. So next time you're on the bus, and the person next to you is blowing their nose, and you're like, ah. Turn that and ask God, show me that person through your eyes. Yeah. And then you can start praying for that person's healing or whatever God prompts you to do. But this is, we need to change all of the unkind thoughts are great prompts for us just to bring the matter to God and change our own personal attitudes. And also, when we have unkind thoughts, it's also very good not to share those thoughts. Gossip can cause problems for all sorts of things, and especially, like, it can tear our churches apart, gossip can. And if we are really struggling with somebody else in our church, and we share that with a friend, then that friend will now start struggling with that same person, because they're getting that fed to them. So we need to be very careful how we share concerns. And if you are genuinely struggling, then maybe you can share it in an anonymized way so that your friend who you're sharing it with doesn't then take that same problem onto themselves and start getting annoyed by the same thing that they hadn't even noticed before. When we're confronted with a situation that's a bit tricky, we're not sure whether we should help or not, we need to bring that to God again and ask for his guidance. This is something that requires practice and practice, to ask God to let us see through his eyes how he sees the people around us. We're not called to help everyone, but we are called to be open to the Spirit's prompting. For example, if you think about the story of Peter and Paul, they walked to the temple and they saw this beggar. How many beggars were there that day? How many beggars have they passed in the months leading up and the months afterwards? Why did they choose to heal that particular beggar? Presumably because the Spirit prompted them. So we need to be open to the prompting of the Spirit. When we go into the city and there are beggars everywhere, Do we give to them? Do we not? We need to be open to the prompting of the Spirit. We're surrounded by hurting people. But an attitude of radical kindness is catching. If one person in a group starts living out this kind of kindness, then even in non-Christian groups, it can catch. And people can start to see that attitude and mirror it and pass it on. And the whole group turns from less and less toxic. I've seen this working out in various work situations, actually. If there's one positive person in a team, can change the attitude of a whole team. So if you can mirror this radical kindness within whatever situations you're in, this can be a catching thing and it can change communities. And I want to really pray that this changes the community of Bowness. So I want to do a little exercise here. I want you all to think of an unpleasant person in your life, someone you really struggle to get on with, preferably someone you still have contact with and not someone who's deeply traumatized you. So I'm just going to give you a minute and I want you to think about that person. Think about how it makes you feel to interact with them, and just imagine some scenarios in your head, okay? Okay, now I want you to think about a fairly recent interaction that you've had with that person which left you feeling frustrated, uncomfortable, or hurt. I want you to replay what happened and what emotions that left within you. I'll give you 30 seconds or so to think about that. Okay, now I want you to ask God to show you how they felt during that interaction. What motivated them? What were their emotions and their thoughts during that interaction they had with you? It's not easy, I know. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to ask God how he saw that interaction. When God was looking at that interaction, how did he see both you and the other person? What did he see when you were both talking to each other? Okay, and finally, this is the last one, I promise. I want you to ask God how you should go forward with your relationship with that person. What responsibilities you have, how you can have a more open heart in more future interactions. So this is just a brief example of one way that we can approach difficult people in our lives. I know you can carry on. This should be on Spotify, so you can go through and ask those same questions about other people in your life. How can you help the people around you, especially the people that wind you up the most? So to conclude, some people we can help, others we can't, for whatever reason. But what this passage is calling us to do is not be afraid to confine our kindness to our friends and our family, but to extend it to everybody, especially those who won't return the favour, who won't return the kindness to us. In addition, the motivation of our kindness should be from a place of God-given empathy, rather than to feel like a good person. It's not a selfish something about me, but it is a God-given way to see other people, where the focus is on the other person and not on ourselves. God has called us to be radical and countercultural in our kindness. He's called us to be radical and countercultural in the way that we live. And a community like this is a great way to practice that and to work out the kinks and to discuss it with each other. Okay, I tried to work this out this week, but it really backfired and I don't know how to handle it now. Talk to each other. Discuss how you can implement this. And know that God is bigger than the problems. God is bigger than the difficulties that are going to stand in our way. So I just want to pray now to close. If anyone wants prayer after the service, then I'm sure there's provision for that. I would also be happy to pray with people. Thank you, Lord, that you open our eyes to see the world how you see it. Thank you that you give us the responsibility of loving the people who you love, of being your hands and your arms, of being the face of your kindness. Lord, I pray that we would embody your life and your love on this earth. I pray that you would help us to responsibly show your kindness and your love to the people around us, to the people in our lives, to the people in our communities, and that we would just show this amazing huge love that you have towards the people in Bowness, towards the people in our works, towards the people, our neighbours, towards the grumpy person next door who always shouts at us. God, thank you that you are bigger than all of that and that you can empower us to be the radical, kind people that you want us to be. Amen.
Amen.